This morning's scripture reading is, again, the three verses from the letter written by a follower of Jesus, Paul, to the Christians living in Rome, Romans chapter 8, 28 to 30. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. We could maybe... Thank you. Right near the end of J.R.R. Tolkien's third book in the his series, the Lord of the Rings, the book The Return of the King. I should have had a picture up there. It looks like Ryan Gaynor up there almost, doesn't it? But could you just imagine that Ryan is actually Sam Gamgee? Okay, well, no, maybe not. But Sam Gamgee sees Gandalf, and he thought that. That Gandalf was dead. He'd mourned his death, and Sam just, you know, with wonderment and amazement, just exclaims, "Is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to come untrue?" And Gandalf responds by saying, "A great shadow has departed, gone." And Sam says, "How do I feel?" "Well, I don't know how to say it. I feel like spring after winter and sun on the leaves and like trumpets and harps and all the songs I've ever heard." You know, for me it's really the book and then the movie, a fantastic scene, because right there you have all of Sam's longings and yearnings. You have the ache that's in his heart. It's like you see it just writ large. You see it, his face is like it's resolved. It's all figured out. He's finally home, and there's a fullness about him, and he realizes that all the sadness has come untrue. Well, you have to wonder to yourself, don't you, if that's really possible. I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't make it your habit, but I just do. I get up on Sunday morning, and I don't want to run and escape from what's going on in the world, so I go on the internet, and I look up and see what's happened through the night as I've been sleeping. The sadness, it's pervasive. It's been such a tense period of time in recent weeks and months, and it's still all there, and you really have to wonder, is it really possible, whether we're talking about the world that we live in or even our own very lives, that someday, somehow, the sadness is going to come untrue for us? We've been on this journey. It ends today through these three verses in Romans chapter 8, and in verse 28, 2 weeks ago, we saw how God can bring good stuff, even out of the sad stuff. God can bring good stuff out of the bad stuff that happens in the world, that happens in our own lives. And we have to realize that as followers of Jesus, we really have no immunity from all of the sad things, the bad things that happen. They're going to happen to us. In this world, you'll have trouble, Jesus says. But we know this, we have a good God who hates the bad stuff, who hates the sad stuff, and He's going to bring ultimate good out of it for us. Verse 29, that's all about the comfort, the hope, really the deep and abiding assurance that we can have, that God has this settled and fixed plan. It's in His heart. He's working it out. He's going to finish it. He's going to bring it to completion, this good He's doing in our lives of seeing us become more and more and more like His Son Jesus, becoming fully alive and truly human, just like the risen Jesus Christ. And not only that, we've been adopted as daughters and sons into God's forever family. This morning we come to verse 30. It's up on the screen for you, and I'm going to ask you to join me in reading this verse. Let's say it together in unison one time here. Together. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What this follower of Jesus, Paul, does here is he sets out four things that God has done to make certain and sure that our sadness and the sadness of this world will come untrue. God has chosen us. God has called us. And God has put things right. He set things right. He's given us right standing with himself through his Son, Jesus. And then this last one, that God has given us his glory. I'm just going to deal with that last one, okay, because, you know, that the first three there, the fact, we looked at that last week a little bit too, there's mystery there, this word predestined and predestination, God choosing us, and then God calling us, and there's mystery there to be sure. And then in this, what I call this wow one, that Jesus, through his death on the cross, his death in our place, his death for the sin of the world, he's put things right, he's given us right standing with God. But it's this last one that really is the stunner for me, because I think of the glory of the Lord being something that is to come. I think of the glory of the Lord as something that's very future-oriented. It's out there, right? In front of us. It waits for a coming day. I mean, the verse in the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2:14, that the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, you know, out there, right? But, this is the stunner. Here in this verse, all of these four things that Paul writes that God has done, they're in the past tense. That it says, he's given them, he gave them, he gave us his glory. It's like, folks, this is a done deal. This is so sure, this is so certain that God is going to keep his word to make everything sad come untrue, that I mean, you can bank on it. It's guaranteed. The glory of God is going to be revealed, is revealed, going to be revealed in our lives and in this world. As Mark said, next Sunday we go back to our two services at 9 and 11, and we're also going to go back to integrating our Sunday morning Christian education time for the children with our worship services using the Faith Weaver Now curriculum. And this fall we're going to be on a journey, the children will be, and here in the service we will be, through Genesis, the book of beginnings, the very first book in the Bible. Bible quiz time. How many books are in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all together? There's 60... Give me a hint. Give me the last number, somebody. Six, right, 66 books. You got Genesis, the book of beginnings, right through to Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And together, I mean, there's diversity, obviously, but there's this unity, this coherence. Together they form one story. It's God's story, and it's not some haphazard, random, mixed up, confused, uncertain kind of story. I mean, you read it beginnings to the end, and there's I tell you, it's hope filled, it's purpose directed. It's the story of God's incredible labor of love from creation to new creation. It's the story of the God who has always been at work, you know, past, present, future, so that everything one day is going to become better, the best that it could be. The sad will be forever and ever and ever and ever untrue. But stunningly, you heard of the movie Michael Fox movie, Back to the Future? Well, this is sort of like the future, back to the present. Like right here, right now, you know, in this moment, for those of us who follow Jesus as Master and Lord, there's this eye-popping, life-altering gift of seeing someone, being in relation with the one, receiving from the one who is the first one, the prototype of what it means to be fully alive. I mean, like alive like no other human being ever has been. And this fullness, this glory from the present back, from the future right back into the present, it's almost like, if you could think of it like this, it's almost like we get a first taste, we get a glory down payment of the full glory that's still to come. On Tuesday evening, the elders are going to be meeting, and we're going to be continuing our work on a new vision statement for Knox. It started really with a larger group from the congregation at the beginning of May, and what we've been able to craft with God's help is this, and I believe that you're going to see this around the building prominently displayed. Not that hard to memorize and take in. It's an audacious kind of vision for this congregation, a community fully alive in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus, the sadness has already started to come untrue. Oh, yes, you went on the internet or you watched the television or turned on your radio this morning, you know there's still far too much sadness. And not only out there, it's in our own lives, but right here, right now, in the very center of that sadness, that brokenness and that weakness, right in the center of it, Jesus has started to undo it. He's started to unravel it. He's started to make it come untrue. Four words for you about this incredible labor of love that God is committed to. And the four words are, well, say them with me, good, bad, new, perfect. Good, bad, new, perfect. We'll look at this next Sunday. The story starts good. You know, God looked, He created, He looked, and He said, it's good. And then it goes sideways. Chapter 3 of Genesis, it goes bad. And then there's this looking forward to, and it comes with the scriptures of the New Testament, the birth of Christ, this one who is the Son of God comes to rescue and recycle all of the bad and make it new. And finally, there's the perfect, God's new heaven and new earth, the day when winter is forever gone. And we read in Revelation, there's no more sadness, there's no more crying, there's no more tears. Friends, there'll be no more aging. Do I hear an amen from some of you? Right? No more decay. No more disease, no more tragedies, no more accidents, no more death. Everyone, everything, fully alive as God brings, this is the grand plan, this is the great labor of love for God, brings all things together in His Son Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. My mom is still now over 2 weeks in St. Joseph's Hospital. She's in the now in the what they call the ALC unit, the alternative life unit. And Jan and I, we very, very much appreciate your prayers. She had just a remarkably good and I think robust day yesterday. But you know, as I've been visiting with her over the last 2 weeks, in settings like that, you just have this flood of memories that come to you again and again. And I have this memory of the stack of magazines, and they're all about one topic, something that I've never really ever been able to get into, quilting. Right. just in the last year, my mother had to give away her wooden quilting frames. We have a quilter in Knox here. Oh, maybe you gave them some. I don't know. Betty over here got them, right? Yeah, but my mother would sit for hours. She'd sit for days. You know, every one of my children, our children, and every one of our grandchildren, they have quilts that my mom made for them. And she would just sit there with this undecipherable pile of I never could figure it out. You know, of thread and yarn, and she'd make something eventually beautiful out of it. And that's the labor of God's love, the Alpha, the Omega. That's the labor of His love in our lives and in the world we live in. We see all of the sadness, and we know that it's a messy, more often than we think is necessary, undecipherable world, and our own lives get messy, like really seriously messy. But God, with love, is at work fashioning you couldn't call it anything other than this heart of God, a tapestry of beauty and glory out of the mess. That's the labor of the love of God. And here's the stunning thing, I think, that Paul is getting at in the last part of Romans 8:30. That even though we still are a messy people, right? I'm like, come on. Honesty here. All those who are messy? Yeah? All right? Okay. Even with messy people like us, we are the ones chosen and called by God. I want you to get this, okay? To be glory carriers. We carry in our lives the glory of God. And yes, I mean, I moved it up here because it was a little crowded, but I'm going to come down because, you know, you're not looking at any paragon of goodness here. And it would be wrong of me ever, seriously wrong of me ever to, you know, convey that in my behaviors or attitudes. Equally so for all of us. But friends, I want you to see it that this place here, you know, some people have called, you know, church a hospital, you know, like here we get to be honest about the sadness and the brokenness, the weakness of our lives, but we also have this to convey and to say that by this outrageous grace of God in Jesus Christ, we're living now into the glory of God's new world that has come in Christ and is yet to come. And it's like we're the glory carriers of God in our neighborhoods and in the community that we live in. How many of you live here in Aldershot? Hey, you got someone new moving into the hood. Wave your hand over here, Mike. Thursday, right? I mean, a new Aldershot neighbor here for you, right? But you've got a new glory carrier in his weakness, his brokenness, his mess, coming to Aldershot, just like you are. Whether you're Flamborough or Dundas or Waterdown, we're all the same there. We're these carriers of God's glory into the community, the school, the workplace, the clubs, the organizations that you belong to, in the whole network. You know, wherever, whoever your life intersects with, you're a glory carrier. And the sure, the certain hope that you have, that we have together as this forever family, adopted into God's family of faith, is at the long, hard, cruel night of winter has come and is coming to an end. And we've begun, and even more, as that future day comes, we're going to experience the life-giving... I was going to say something serious and just had this weird thought, you know, like, we were down in PEI, you know, we had summer there. Right? You didn't. But, you know, we had wonderful, life-giving warmth, heat from the sun. And we've received this wonderful, life-giving heat, warming ray of the sun of glory, of Jesus in our lives. The winter will end. And our calling, our being chosen by God is that we might become more and more like Jesus, even in the midst of our suffering and our weakness and our brokenness, so that we're the advance crew of God's glory. You see, what's sad is going to come untrue by the grace of God. September is going to be about a whole lot of new beginnings here at Knox and our church family. But I believe that the most important new beginning for me, for you, for all of us together will be the decision that we make individually within our different ministry areas. So wonderful to hear that this time of study that the praise team are going to have, digging together into God's Word, and all of that is to drink deeply. It's like let that bucket go down deep into the well of the glory of God revealed to us in Christ and drink deeply of Jesus. He's our source of life. You know, Jesus is the one who said, I've come that you may have life and that you would have that life abundantly. Nothing future tense about that. It's there, yes, it's going to come, but it's here right now. And the abundant life of Christ, I believe, is this, that you and I and all of us together, we'd be God's glory carriers. We'd be letting others see in us, right in the very center of all of the sad stuff, even in the middle of the bad stuff, and all of the up and down of life, the in and out of it all, see the one we have come to know who is taking everything that happens in our lives and quilting it, weaving it, making it into something beautiful. I pray that you would hold fast to this promise of God as we go into the fall season. And, you know, as I give you this promise, I mean, I understand that you may not always feel like you can see this promise. It may not always be apparent to you. You may not feel what you think should be the strength of this promise. You may even have questions and doubts about this promise. But you have this promise from God. You have this unshakable, unalterable commitment of God who's laboring in love in your life and in the life of this world, that God is making this world, God is making this church family, God is making you, and God is making through you others beautiful. That's the promise. Promise is this. Hold fast to it. God is making everything sad come on true. Let's join together in prayer, and then we're going to sing about this source of life that we've come to know in Jesus, Jesus' life of all the world. Lord God, there's such thrilling and energizing stuff here in this promise of yours. We want to hold fast to it, but help us to know that your grip of us, of our lives, and your hand on this world is even stronger, larger. How we thank you for your commitment. Great is your faithfulness. Make us faithful. God who's chosen us, God who's called us, God who has given us right standing with yourself, an amazing God who has given us your glory. Let these grace droplets, these glory droplets of heaven fill our lives and spill out from our lives. The hors d'oeuvre, the beginning, the foretaste of what's to come, but so real. Heaven is in our hearts. Make it so real, alive, that it gets noticed. And others are drawn to you, Jesus. To your honor, to your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together.